Hey there. Before we get into the episode, I wanted to make sure that you've grabbed our free wedding planning resources that I made specifically to help guide you through the overwhelming details of planning a wedding. Head over to planningcollective.com/free-guides and sign up for totally free resources on expensive wedding planning mistakes, the first four things every engaged couple needs to do, a full backyard wedding or unique venue wedding planner, and our pre-wedding worksheets that every couple needs. All four of these downloads are currently available, and we're working on some more fun and, of course, free resources coming your way soon. Again, you can find all of them at planningcollective.com under the free guides tab. See you there. Kate McClellan, pro wedding planner with over 16 years of experience helping more than 400 couples down the aisle. I started Planning Collective to help all couples get through the overwhelm of wedding planning by sharing my actionable tips and tools that I've used over the years working with my clients. We'll focus on getting rid of what I like to call FOWO, the fear of wedding oversight. This is an unfortunate condition that almost every couple will suffer from at some point. Let's get you back to enjoying the planning process. Here we go. Hey guys, Kate here. Welcome back to another episode of the Wedding Planning Collective podcast. I'm catching up this week on recording the last few episodes as I've been struggling to get over some late summer laryngitis. I'm probably about 90% better now, so please excuse any raspiness or coughing that sneaks in. For today's episode, I want to talk about some things to consider when picking your wedding party, meaning your bridesmaids, groomsmen, ring bearer, and flower girl. Before we get into the tips, I want to point out that we use the term wedding party as an alternative to bridal party to be inclusive to those couples that don't include a bride. If bridal party or groom's party works for you, fantastic. And if your wedding party members may not identify with the titles bridesmaids and groomsmen, feel free to change that up too. If you're looking for some gender-neutral terms to use, you might find a better fit with bridesmates, groomsmates, mate of honor, best person, friend of honor, or attendance. You can also get fun with it here. We've had couples use the terms wedding posse, entourage, or the I do crew. Like everything else when it comes to wedding planning, use what works for you and modify the things that don't. All right, on to the tips. Number one, when it comes to picking your wedding party, the biggest thing that I want to stress is that, in my opinion, the main reason you have a wedding party is to have the people that are most important in your lives there to support and witness your vows to each other. And of course, support you throughout your marriage. Not unlike a godparent to a child. Now, ideally, your wedding party will also be able to help support you in the wedding planning process, but this should be a bonus and not a requirement. If you have some pretty intense expectations of your wedding party helping with the plans, make sure that you make those expectations very clear at the time that you're asking them to participate. If they're on board, then perfect. But if they aren't able to make that commitment, you'll know right away, hopefully saving the friendship in the process. I wish I could remember where I heard this, but it was years ago. You know that project or construction saying, measure twice, cut once? Keep that in mind when it comes to your wedding party members. Think twice, ask once. Once you've asked them to be in your wedding party, there's really no way to unask that won't severely damage the relationship. So if you think you have some lofty expectations that might be too much for someone, really think about whether they would be the best fit for your wedding party or not. The second biggest question asked about the wedding party is, how many can or should you have? To answer this one, I always refer back to the reason why you're having a wedding party. These are the people in your lives that are the most important to you. For some, it might be one or two people, and for others, that might be more than eight. While there's no set number that you should have, the average number of people on each side of the wedding party is four, which I think is a pretty solid number. The more people you have, though, the more opinions there are, which can make it tricky. So definitely keep that in mind. And if you're struggling to choose a best man or maid of honor, you can nix that role altogether or have multiple serving in this role. I think I see this most when it comes to having multiple siblings and not wanting to pick one sister over the other to be maid of honor. But there's nothing wrong with having them both in that role or just having everyone at the same level without that special designation. Number three, it doesn't have to be reciprocal. Just because your college roommate had you in her wedding party doesn't mean you need to include her in your wedding party, especially if you're keeping things small. Now, it would be nice for you to give that friend a heads up about the decision so their feelings don't get hurt, but hopefully they'll totally understand why you made that decision. Number four, this one is short and sweet. You can cross the great sex divide. Bride's brothers don't have to be on the groom's side, and groom's sisters don't have to be on the bride's side. Don't let the old school industry terms or traditions mold your wedding party. You can do whatever you feel is best for you and your people. Number five, this one might sound a little odd, but you don't have to have a wedding party. This is something we're seeing more and more often, where couples have either just one person on each side or no official wedding party at all, and that is absolutely fine. When it comes to signing the marriage license, in most states, you'll need two witnesses to sign the document, in addition to the two of you and the officiant. Typically, we have the maid of honor and best man serve as the witnesses, but it really can be anyone over the age of 18. It can even be a stranger if you're going the city hall route. Recently, we've had parents sign the license, which I think is really sweet, but it can be a perfect way to give someone a special role on the day if you're not having a wedding party. And to wrap things up with number six, let's talk about the kids in the wedding party. The same rules apply. If you have kids in your friend or family group that are the perfect age to be a ring bearer or flower girl, fantastic. You can have multiple of both, but if you don't have anybody that naturally fits that role, you certainly don't need to have a ring bearer or a flower girl. The officiant or someone in the wedding party can hold the rings. In fact, even if you do have a ring bearer, I highly recommend you're not giving them the real rings anyway. Kids can get really shy or decide that they want to be the star of the show, but they rarely remember exactly what they're supposed to do or where they're supposed to go. We've had many ring bearers chuck the pillow at someone halfway down the aisle or make a run for it when they see all those faces looking at them, but that's only a problem if the real rings are attached to a pillow. You can use fake plastic rings on the pillow or box, and if they get distracted and don't make it all the way down the aisle, then that's not a problem at all. One final note if you're having kids in the wedding party is that you have to be okay with whatever mood you get from them that day, especially when they're on the younger side. No matter how excited they are about their role, I've seen many of them freeze on the actual wedding day when they see all the guests looking back at them. Usually this results in them doing something super cute, like bolting down the aisle to their parents or shyly hiding behind their mom or the matron of honor. So my biggest piece of advice here is to just embrace whatever they end up doing, especially if it's not that picture-perfect moment you've been envisioning. So how many are you thinking of having in your wedding party? Head on over to the Wedding Planning Collective Facebook group and share your thoughts there. And if you found this or any of our previous episodes helpful, would you take a quick second to rate and review? It would really help us get these practical and real-life wedding planning tips to more couples, and it would absolutely make my day to know we're helping. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next episode. Hey there. Thanks so much for listening to the Wedding Planning Collective podcast. Before we get started with the episode, I wanted to let you know about our all-new Wedding Planning Blueprint course. I've taken my 19 years of wedding planning experience and created this course to help guide you from feeling overwhelmed, confused, and maybe even a little alone in the planning process to being informed, confident, and excited about planning again. This course is made up of 5 modules that will take you through the planning stages and include details on creating your budget and wedding design, hiring your vendors, food and beverage 101, rental checklists, and all of the pre-wedding details you need to get rid of FOWO, which is the fear of wedding oversight, amongst so many other topics that we cover. You can find all of the details over at planningcollective.com/WPB course. And if you join before the end of January, you will also receive access to the weekly Zoom planning sessions. I hope to see you there.